This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of The Zap Gun by Philip K. Dick, performed by Mel Foster. The guidance system of weapons item 207, which consists of 600 miniaturized electronic components, can best be plowshared as a lacquered ceramic owl, which appears to the unenlightened only as an ornament. The informed knowing, however, that the owl's head, when removed, reveals a hollow body in which cigars or pencils can be stored. Official report of the UN-W NATSEC Board of West Block, October 5, 2003, by Concomity A. True identity for security reasons not to be given out. VDE Board Rulings XV 4-5-6-7-8. 1. Mr. Lars, sir, I'm afraid I only have a moment to talk to your viewers. Sorry. He started on, but the autonomic TV interviewer, camera in its hand, blocked his path. The metal smile of the creature glittered confidently. You feel a trance coming on, sir? The autonomic interviewer inquired hopefully, as if perhaps such could take place before one of the Multifax alternate lens systems of its portable camera. Lars Powderdry sighed. From where he stood on the footer's runnel, he could see his New York office. See, but not reach it. Too many people, the persaps, were interested in him, not his work. And the work, of course, was all that mattered. He said wearily, "The time factor, don't you understand? In the world of weapons fashions..." "Yes, we hear you're receiving something really spectacular," the autonomic interviewer gushed, picking up the thread of discourse without even salutationary attention to Lars' own meaning. "Four trances in 1 week, and it's almost come all the way through, correct, Mr. Lars, sir?" The autonomic construct was an idiot. Patiently, he tried to make it understand. He did not bother to address himself to the legion of persaps, mostly ladies, who viewed this early morning show, Lucky Bagman Greets You, or whatever it was called. Lord knew he didn't know. He had no time in his workday for such witless diversions as this. "Look," he said, this time gently, as if the autonomic interviewer were really alive and not merely an arbitrarily endowed sentient concoction of the ingenuity of West Block technology of 2004 AD. Ingenuity, he reflected, wasted in this direction. Although, on a closer thought, was this so much more an abomination than his own field? A reflection unpleasant to consider. He repressed it from his mind and said, "In weapons fashions, an item must arise at a certain time. Tomorrow, next week, or next month is too late." "Tell us what it is," the interviewer said, and hung with bated avidity on the anticipated answer. How could anyone, even Mr. Lars of New York and Paris, disappoint all the millions of viewers throughout West Block in a dozen countries? To let them down would be to serve the interests of Peep East, or so the autonomic interviewer wished to convey. But it was failing. Lars said, "It's, frankly, none of your business," and stalked past the small bunch of footers who had assembled to gawk, stalked away from the warm glow of instant exposure before public observation, and to the uptrack of Mr. Lars Incorporated, the single-story structure arranged as if by intention among high-rise offices, whose size alone announced the essential nature of their function. Physical size, Lars reflected as he reached the outer public lobby of Mr. Lars Incorporated, was a false criterion. Even the autonomic interviewer wasn't fooled. It was Lars Powderdry that it wished to expose to its audience, not the industrial entities within easy reach, however much the entities would have delighted in seeing their ACPROP, acquisition propaganda, experts thundering into the attentive ears of its audience. The doors of Mr. Lars Incorporated shut, tuned as they were to his own cephalic pattern. He sealed off, safe from the gaping multitude whose attention had been jazzed up by professionals. On their own, the Persaps would have been reasonable about it. That is, they would be apathetic.
Mr. Lars?
Yes, Miss Bedouin? He halted. I know, the drafting department can't make head or tail of Sketch 285. To that, he was resigned. Having seen it himself after Friday's trance, he knew how muddied it was.
Well, they said...
She hesitated, young and small, ill-equipped temperamentally to carry the grievances of others around in her possession as their spokesman. I'll talk to them direct, he said to her humanely. Frankly, to me, it looked like a self-programming egg beater mounted on triangular wheels. And what can you destroy, he reflected, with that?
Oh, they seem to feel it's a fine weapon, Miss Bedouin said,
her natural hormone-enriched breasts moving in synchronicity with his notice of them.
I believe they just can't make out the power source. You know, the erg structure. Before you go to 286...
They want me, he said, to take a better look at 285.
Okay.
It did not bother him. He felt amiably inclined because this was a pleasant April day and Miss Bedouin, or if you like to think about it that way, Miss Bed, was pretty enough to restore any man's sanguineness, even a fashion designer, a weapons fashion designer. Even, he thought, the best and only weapons fashion designer in all Westblock. To turn up his equal, and even this was in doubt as far as he was concerned, one would have to approach that other hemisphere, peep east. The Sino-Soviet bloc owned or employed, or however they handled it, in any case had available to them, services of a medium like himself. He had often wondered about her. Her name was Miss Topchev. The planet-wide private police agency Koch had informed him. Lilo Topchev. With only one office, and that at Bulganingrad rather than New Moscow. She sounded reclusive to him, but Koch did not orate on subjective aspects of its scrutiny targets. Perhaps, he thought, Miss Topchev knitted her weapon sketches, or made them up while still in the trance state in the form of gaily colored ceramic tile. Anyhow, something artistic. Whether her client, or more accurately employer, the Peep East governing body Sirkeb, that grim, uncolored, and unadorned holistic academy of cogs, against which his own hemisphere had for so many decades now pitted every resource within itself, liked it or not. Because, of course, a weapons fashion designer had to be catered to. In his own career, he had managed to establish that. After all, he could not be compelled to enter his 5 days a week trance, and probably neither could Lilo Topchev. Leaving Miss Bedouin, he entered his own office, removing his outer cape, cap, and slippers, and extended these discarded items of streetwear to the handy closet. Already his medical team, Dr. Tote and Nurse Elvira Funt, had sighted him. They rose and approached respectfully, and with them his near-psionically gifted quasi-subordinate Henry Morris. One never knew, he thought, constructing their reasoning on the basis of their alert, alarmed manner, when a trance might come on. Nurse Funt had her intravenous machinery tagging hummingly behind her, and Dr. Tote, a first-class product of the superior West German medical world, stood ready to whip out delicate devices for two distinct purposes. First, that no cardiac arrest during the trance state occur, no infarcts to the lungs or excessive suppression of the vagus nerve, causing cessation of breathing and hence suffocation. And second, and without this there was no point to at all, that mentation during the trance state be established in a permanent record, obtainable after the state had ended. Dr. Tote was therefore essential in the business at Mr. Lars Incorporated. At the Paris office, a similar equally skilled crew awaited on standby. Because it often happened that Lars Powder Dry got a more powerful emanation at that locus than he did in hectic New York, and in addition, his mistress, Maren Fain, lived and worked there. It was a weakness, or as he preferred supposing, a strength of weapons fashion designers, in contrast to their miserable counterparts in the world of clothing, that they liked women. His predecessor, Wade, had been heterosexual too, had in fact killed himself over a little coloratura of the Dresden Festival Ensemble. Mr. Wade had suffered auricular fibrillation at an ignoble time, while in bed at the girls' Vienna condominium apartment at 2 in the morning, long after the Marriage of Figaro had dropped curtain. And Rita Grandy had discarded the silk hose, blouse, etc., for, as the alert homeopath picks had disclosed, nothing. So, at 43 years of age, Mr. Wade, the previous weapons fashion designer for West Block, had left the scene, and left vacant his essential post. But there were others ready to emerge and replace him. Perhaps that had hurried Mr. Wade. The job itself was taxing. Medical science did not precisely know to what degree or how. And there was, Lars Powderdry reflected, nothing quite so disorienting as knowing that not only are you indispensable, but that simultaneously you can be replaced. It was the sort of paradox that no one enjoyed, except, of course, UN-W NATSEC, the governing board of West Block, who had contrived to keep a replacement always visible in the wings. He thought, and they've probably got another one waiting right now. They like me, he thought. They've been good to me, and I to them. The system functions. But ultimate authorities, in charge of the lives of billions of persaps, don't take risks. They do not cross against the don't walk signs of cog life. Not that the persaps would relieve them of their posts, hardly. Removal would descend from General George McFarlane Nitz, the CNC on NATSEC's board. Nitz could remove anyone. In fact, if the necessity, or perhaps merely the opportunity, arose to remove himself, imagine the satisfaction of disarming his own person, stripping himself of the brainpan ID unit that caused him to smell right to the autonomic sentries which guarded Festung, Washington. And frankly, considering the cop-like aura of General Nitz, the supreme hatchet man, implications of his...
Your blood pressure, Mr. Lars.
Narrow, priest-like, somber, Dr. Tote advanced, machinery in tow.
Please, Lars.
Beyond Dr. Tote and Nurse Elvira Funt, a slim, bald, pale as straw, but highly professional-looking young man in pea-soup green rose, a folio under his arm. Lars Powderdry at once beckoned to him. Blood pressure readings could wait. This was the fella from Koch, and he had something with him.
May we go into your private office, Mr. Lars?
The Koch man asked. Leading the way, Lars said, Photos?
Yes, sir.
The Koch man shut the office door carefully after them.
Of her sketches of...
He opened the folio, examined a Xerox document.
Last Wednesday... Their codex, AA-335.
Finding a vacant spot on Lars' desk, he began spreading out the stereo pics.
Plus one blurred shot of a mock-up at the Rostock Academy assembly lab of...
Again, he consulted his poop sheet.
Sirkeb Codex AA-330.
He stood aside so that Lars could inspect. Seating himself, Lars lit a Questarray Astoria and did not inspect. He felt his wits become turgid, and the cigar did not help. He did not enjoy snooping dog-like over spy-obtained pics of the output of his Peep East equivalent, Miss Topchef. Let UN-W NATSEC do the analysis. He had so much as said this to General Nitz on several occasions, once at a meeting of the total board, with everyone present sunk within his most dignified and stately press garms, his prestige capes, mitre, boots, gloves, probably spider silk underwear with ominous slogans and ukases stitched in multicolored thread. There, in that solemn environment, with the burden of Atlas on the backs of even the Concomedies, those 6 drafted and voluntary fools, in formal session, Lars had mildly asked that for Christ's sakes couldn't they do the analysis of the enemy's weapons? No, and without debate. Because... Listen closely, Mr. Lars. These are not Peep East's weapons. These are his plans for weapons.
We will evaluate them when they've passed from prototype to autofact production, General Nitz had intoned. But as regards this initial stage, he had eyed Lars meaningfully. Lighting an old-fashioned and illegal cigarette, the pale, bald young Koch man murmured,
Mr. Lars, we have something more. It may not interest you, but since you seem to be waiting anyhow...
He dipped deep into the folio. Lars said, I'm waiting because I hate this, not because I want to see any more, God forbid. The Koch man brought forth an additional 8x10 glossy and leaned back. It was a non-stereo pick, taken from a great distance, possibly even from an iSpy satellite, then severely processed, of Lilo Topchev.